The voice of Husker Nation is on the air. This is Hail Varsity Radio. Insight, opinion, expertise, along with the biggest names talking Nebraska sports. Join in with the show at 402-489-1240 or 1-800-825-5865. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and Elijah Herbel.
Welcome to it. Hope you're doing all right. Welcome to Monday. It's Hail Varsity Radio. We're presented by Currency for all your equipment financing needs. Go Currency. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel, and you. We'll get into the recruiting weekend, some of our thoughts with the visit list, and a uber-talented offensive lineman out of Fort Collins, Gage Ginther, going to be with us at 25 after. In hour two, we've kind of just made this a habit. It's the Black Shirt Hour. We'll check in with Mr. Blackshirt himself, Charlie McBride, a Monday with Charlie, and then Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, also with us in hour two. Plenty of room for you. Want to jump in, can do so at 402-489-1240. 402-489-1240. Can watch the show, stream us multiple ways if you want to watch and listen. The Hail Varsity YouTube channel, Hail Varsity Radio Twitter handle at HVarsity Radio. Give that a follow. You can find me at Schmidt underscore radio and Elijah Herbel at Herbal Essence. Give those follows. And then KFOR Facebook and Twitter. Great time at the Hail Varsity Club on Friday. Enjoyed seeing all the folks that came out. Really appreciate that. Saturday morning show was all good, as it was a little bit more of an appetizer into the recruiting weekend. And then, wow, what a Friday night for the Big Red faithful that saw an outstanding baseball win and a tribute to those Diamond Kings. But the recruits stole the show with so many pictures and autographs and the Husker fandom on full display towards potential kids that may come and play football for Nebraska. So we'll get there, some reaction to the recruiting weekend. Also, the Elite Eight, and man, oh man, oh man, Creighton. And there's like three different parties, right? You have your Creighton fan base, you have your Husker fan base that doesn't like Creighton, you have your gray area that just, you have some empathy for sports fans of a certain team, and you hate to see putting yourself in Creighton's shoes, hypothetically, anyone lose that way. So we'll spend time with that. Elijah, good weekend. You got some umping in?
Got some umping in, and actually had a listener come up and say hi after the game, and I was like, thank God he didn't personally heckle
me during
the game.
Son, you're a hell of a lot better on the radio than you are behind home plate. Well, is that what you got? Is that the compliment?
No, he was much nicer than that. He said how much he loved our show, loved listening every single night. Appreciate him. And again, if you see me out in the ball fields at all this spring, come say hi after the game, preferably. I don't want that added pressure of being like,
can
oh no.
Can I bring you a water and a 50?
but I will say it was my first time seeing any live pitching in like 8 months. So it took a little getting used to, getting back into the flow of things. But I think overall my game was all right. Couple pitches I'd like back. Good to get back in the rhythm of umpiring. The weather was nice on Saturday before it got cold and snowy on Sunday. And then we got to follow recruiting all weekend, Elite Eight. All in all, a good weekend. Didn't last long enough. It never does. But there's too much to talk about today to take a vacation day, you know?
Back at it for sure. And initial impression from the weekend for Nebraska football. Wow. Right? That may be underselling it, but there's other adjectives to describe. First and foremost, what Nebraska and Coach Rhule and his staff pulled off. Okay, this isn't a spring game. This isn't a home game weekend. This is the latter part of March, still a month away from the spring game, and you're able to go get an insane amount of visitors. I can't count that high. My shoes are on. But it was a lot of kids on their own dime, high-profile guys, and other guys that may not have the stars, and that's okay, but guys that Nebraska's identified on film or through some of their contacts as potential fits, and Nebraska was all over it. Yeah, the headlines, clearly, Dylan Raiola, for sure. Brandon Baker at offensive tackle, Wingo, Reddit, Frazier. I mean, some of the skill guys, you're wowed by where they are ranked in this country and their peer recruiting lists. Guy we're going to talk to, Gage Ginther, is a super talent in Fort Collins. He is still high on so many boards, 19 Division I offers. We're talking the likes of UCLA and Tennessee and Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, Oregon, Indiana, Wisconsin, well, Stanford.
I remember when we were talking to him in the fall, and it was Illinois had offered him and Indiana had offered him, and he was waiting for that Nebraska offer, which he got after the weekend that we talked to him.
Mickey offered him.
Mm-hmm. And I think we saw at the time the kind of talent this kid had when we talked to him. One of his main points was, yeah, I play offensive line because I like to hurt people, mm-hmm. if you remember that quote. And it's been fun to see his recruiting take off. I'm glad to see Nebraska is still a big part. Excited to talk to him here at 425, as you mentioned. But all in all, when you look at the recruiting weekend as a whole, I don't think you're going to gather all that much, but you will. Well, your first takeaway, A, is that all the guys who said that they were going to be here did, in fact, mm-hmm. show up. That sometimes does not happen. I think the next question is, how many of these guys that were here this weekend end up parlaying it into an official visit at some point this summer? That's your next big question for, well, of course they're going to say nice things to the media about Nebraska. You're not going to go and badmouth the school that just hosted you and gave you a nice experience. The question now is, how many of these high-level guys end up saying, you know what, Nebraska impressed me enough that I want to take an official visit there?
Yeah, are you coming back, and when are you coming back, and how often are you going to come back? And that's just it, right? And you and I have grown up here, so we know that it's not out of the realm of possibility to drive east of town somewhere between Lincoln and Omaha and find livestock or cornfields or the rural part of the state or head west or head north or head south. Yeah, that's a big part of the state. It is largely rural. It is large, and that's awesome. I mean, that is work ethic, that is salt of the earth, that is Americana. It's wonderful. But Lincoln's, it's an uphill battle that you got to fight, and until you get here as somebody from the outside being maybe the West Coast, outside being somewhere maybe down south, Texas or Florida, You have this perception battle that it isn't just hay bales and cornfields. It is, damn, a pretty sweet downtown in Lincoln, Nebraska. Or, whoa, the campus is pretty impressive. Or, yeah, it is a big part of football, but there's more than football. And I think what Nebraska and Matt Rhule and his staff and Trev Alberts do a great job of is laying it all out there. And the biggest takeaway I have isn't the doggedness. That's in itself wonderful if you're a Nebraska fan, but it's also the fact that let's see if we're good for each other. One of the quotes that has always stuck with me, and this was the late great John Thompson, Big John, Georgetown's former coach. And he was talking about recruiting. He was talking about recruiting Allen Iverson. And Allen had some legal things go on, and it worked out. Allen went to Georgetown, went to an Elite Eight, and Allen Iverson, Hall of Fame NBA career. Okay, some missteps off the court, whatever. We're all not perfect, not downplaying some of his decisions. But listen, Allen Iverson, John Thompson, why did you spend X number of days with John Thompson, Allen Iverson? Well, I wanted to see what kind of coach he was going to be. And you flip it around, and John Thompson's way more blunt. I got to figure out if this kid's an a-hole and I can deal with him for 2 or 3 years. I mean, that's hopefully not the case, but it's not never the case. And you're going to feel each other out. Here's how we practice on Saturday. And this is Matt Rhule saying, this is what we do, right? I'm not saying we. I don't have a red N. So it is all about fit. This is how it's going to be. Do you get it and agree with it? Is it up your alley? And vice versa. We'll see if we like you. You see if you like us. And then you can keep the process a moving. And then no one wastes each other's time.
Well, and it's more than just this is what it's going to be from a football standpoint. This is what practice is going to be. They gave them the full Nebraska experience of, you know what, this is what it's going to be like living in Nebraska, where you're going to go out to a Husker baseball game everyone's going to know who you are. That's a part of it. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily a good thing or a bad thing.
It
depends on the recruit. It's just how it is. If you go to a Husker basketball game and you're a Husker football player, you're going to get on the big screen. People are going to talk to you at the Husker basketball game. They're going to ask you how football things are going. Whenever you go to Hy-Vee or Super Saver or Walmart, people are going to recognize you. They're going to talk to you. That's how it is in Nebraska. That's a part of it. And then you get to Saturday. You know what? There are going to be some legendary college football players like Johnny Rogers, Eric Crouch, I mean, those are the guys they met, but you can add to that list. And Ndamukong Suh, a lot of guys around here that still have a vested interest in the program that are going to want to talk to you, and you're going to feel pressure from these high-level former college football players to go put a good product on the field. These are all parts of being a part of Nebraska, and I think that's what this unofficial visit weekend was about. It was about we're gonna feel you out as a player, you're going to feel us out as a staff, and you're going to get to see this is what it's going to be like in Nebraska. Is this for you? Is this not for you? You better know soon to know whether or not we're going to be on your list or not.
It's the full family effect, right? I mean, it's beyond the bells and whistles, and here's the attention. Can you handle it? Oh, yeah, you still got to go play ball. This is the wooing process. There's still Saturdays to go handle. There's still Monday through Thursday to handle, perform, develop, work your way up the depth chart, and then get on the field. And when it's third and five in the fourth quarter, do your thing, right? And make sure it's something that you can live with as the attention. Everyone loves, well, I shouldn't say everyone, but the attention is what it is. I mean, and it is in waves, thousands there. Can I get a hot dog? No, because there's a line 5, 7, 12, and I wasn't there Friday night, deep to want a picture and say, hey, thanks for coming to Nebraska. Go Big Red. Hope you come to Lincoln, Dylan, or whoever else. And that's what it's going to be. And the fanfare is great if you can handle it and if you want to handle it. There's other kids that just want to go play ball and they don't want the attention. And it's a personality thing. But that's part of the showcase. And then you get down to the nitty-gritty, which is a Saturday practice. So super impressive for Nebraska to land all these kids to check out Nebraska on their own dime during the spring session, and we'll see how many return trips happen for the spring game.
That's going to be the question of how serious are these guys? How many guys make it back to campus? How many guys, you know what, they're going to put on the Husker jersey, they're going to take a picture on the field, they're going to take a picture with Ryle, they're going to try to get themselves some Instagram and Twitter followers, because in 2 years, you know what, those extra 5,000 followers are going to be an extra X amount of money in NIL. There's going to be guys that were here this weekend that are like that. That, you know what? They wanted to get a few thousand Husker fans to follow them on Instagram because whenever the NIL checks start rolling in, they're going to be worth more money. There's going to be guys like that. The question is how many are serious about being Huskers and how many guys want to come see the campus again? How many want to see a spring game? How many want to see a game in the fall and confirm what they saw in the spring? Because you have to face that. At a place like Nebraska, the fan attention can be used by a player. You know, there can be a player here this weekend that has no interest in going to Nebraska whatsoever, but he talked to Dylan Raiola and he saw the videos from Dylan Raiola on Twitter, and he knows Husker fans are going to care about me being on campus. And in 2 years, whenever I'm at USC or Georgia or name your school, those fans are going to make me more money. That's an element you have to look at here. So I don't think you can take away all that much from this weekend, because no one's going to go badmouth Nebraska to the media. That's just not something
you're going
to do.
You can take away that it happened.
You can take away that it happened, but where the real takeaway comes in is how many of these guys are back on campus in a month or in 6 months. How many guys are including Nebraska in their top three, and it's going to be a battle to earn their signature? That's what the question becomes, but Nebraska has taken the first step in that direction this weekend.
A quote from this weekend, and I think you found it, Elijah, with kind of the pitch. We were talking last week about the sway. How do you sway Raiola from a USC and Oregon? How do you sway Raiola from Georgia? You know, Nebraska is unique and different and got the family insight between dad and uncle Donnie, and Rule's pretty fair with his take. Look, gonna win now. That's my plan. And we're gonna win with you. I mean, that's his pitch, pretty much short and sweet to Dylan Raiola. Mm-hmm. The pitch that I guess blew me away, and this goes back probably 2002, 2001. This is after Oklahoma won the national championship. This is Bob Stoops to Peterson. Adrian Peterson. Hey, we're going to win without you, but we'd like to win with you. You know, he's coming off a national championship. They just smacked Florida State. They had an incredible second season with Big Game Bob. And he's sitting in, you know, the whole world's trying to get Adrian.
This was at an away basketball game, wasn't it?
Yeah. He goes to go watch Adrian. He's like, hey, dude, we're going to win without you, but we'd like to win with you. But I like Rule's confidence. And, of course, you got to say it, but I think he believes it. We're going to win now. And that's the biggest question. That's the biggest thing when we talk about, okay, Nebraska's advantages versus their disadvantages for Raiola and a lot of these other kids is, okay, where's Nebraska's program at now compared to X, Y, and Z? And it is apples and oranges. But the thing with Coach Rule, I mean, he's hell-bent on trying to win now and going about it the right way. So that's our recruiting thoughts. We'll have a standout player from Fort Collins, part of the visit list this weekend. Gage Ginther going to join us, offensive tackle from Fort Collins.
He's standing by in the
green
room.
He's in the green room already. He's staring me down. That's awesome. We will talk with Gage Ginther shortly, and we'll have thoughts on the Elite Eight. Hail Varsity continues, and we're presented by Currency.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Thanks for spending time at Hail Varsity Radio. We're presented by Currency, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel. Big recruiting weekend for Nebraska, and a standout offensive lineman from Fort Collins, Gage Ginther, joins us. And can find Gage on Twitter at Gage_Ginther on Twitter, at Gage Ginther on Instagram. Gage, thanks for a few minutes. Great to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
We're doing well. Tell us about your weekend. What stuck out about your visit to Lincoln?
It was a great weekend. My favorite part about the weekend was probably the new facilities for sure, and just how friendly the staff was with me and my family. And I also love being around the other big recruits because it really showed me like how good Nebraska's 2024 class could be. And I think they're going to get some of those kids, because we're all super happy about our visit, so I loved it.
Gage Ginther's with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. And Gage, one of the things that was really emphasized before this recruiting weekend from the staff and from those that cover Husker football was that Nebraska wanted to present a family environment, from the Husker baseball game on Friday night to going and watching practice on Saturday. I want to get your take on what you saw from Matt Rule and his staff in that regard. Did you feel a family environment this weekend?
Yeah, they treated everyone there like family. They talked to my parents the whole time. They talked to me the whole time. And, you know, they just, like, hung out with us. It was a ton of fun, and they were all great people. So it was a lot like a family.
I do have to ask if you partook in ping pong, and if so, how did it go?
I didn't play Coach Rule, but he played Dylan Raiola, and he smoked Dylan. But I played Coach Raiola, and I beat him. So.
Okay, so you beat Dylan. So who were some of the other players that were here this weekend that you knew coming in or maybe you've connected with since this weekend?
I knew Brandon Baker going into this weekend just because we're both linemen, and I met him at CU a while back. But I got to know Dylan pretty well. Roger Gradney, he's committed there in 2024. And then I met Jared, and Jacob Smith and Eli Newby. That's most of the kids I was hanging out with this weekend.
So, Gage, tell me about that recruiting pitch to you. We kind of hit that back in the first segment with what was said to Dylan Raiola. I want to get your take. You're a guy who knew Donovan Raiola back whenever he was still under Mickey Joseph in the fall, and now he's in a new staff, but it's still that same guy. And I want to get your take on what his pitch was to you and what it was like spending the weekend with him.
He just tells me that he's going to develop me mentally and technically, like with my technique and stuff. He's going to develop me into an NFL player, and that if I come to Nebraska, they're going to win games and they're going to win them fast. That's most of the stuff he tells me, and I know that's true. So I love Coach Raiola, and I love what he's doing.
Gage, you have a number of options and offers, 19 to our count. There could be more out there, and I know Nebraska offered you under Mickey back in November. and you've had just a slew of offers before that and since then. What are you feeling right now with this recruiting process? Is it overwhelming? Are you enjoying it? And as far as the timeline goes, what's it look like for you?
I'm enjoying it a lot right now. Just kind of taking everything in and comparing all my options. But I want to try to commit before my senior season if I can. But I don't know. We'll see. I don't really have a strict timeline that I'm going by. I'll just commit when I find out where I want to go.
Take me through these last couple months. I believe the offer list for you is up to 19, and I think we were closer to 10 whenever we talked to you back in the fall. So I want to get your take on just what this past couple months has been like. Did you expect your recruitment to take off in the way that it has?
Oh, yeah, I completely expected it, to be honest. I just had to wait till coaches kind of saw my film and everything, and then they offered me right when they saw it, I guess. But, yeah, it's been kind of crazy. Just I got really busy really quick, which is kind of new for me just because it happened all within a couple weeks. But I don't know. I've really enjoyed it.
Gage, what do you want to do in college? Are you wanting to play at a tackle spot? Do you want to go on the interior? What's Nebraska talk to you about? What do they envision for you?
They say I could play all five positions. But I want to play tackle. If I could play tackle, I'd want to play tackle. But honestly, I think I'll play guard, and then I'll just play wherever I can play fastest. So I'm fine with whatever.
And did you mention that development piece from Coach Riley? Did he get into that this weekend, where he thinks you need some development and what he thinks he can help you develop in? And then personally, what are you trying to develop this offseason as you get ready for your senior year?
I'm just trying to develop everything. Like, just get stronger, get bigger, get all my technique right. I mean, there's not really anything like specific that I'm bad at. I just want to get everything as fine as I can. And then that's what Coach Riley tells me too. He just is like, there's always something you could be working on. So if you come here, you'll never run out of things to do.
Gage Ginther with us, Hail Varsity Radio, 4-star offensive lineman from Fort Collins, Colorado, part of the recruiting weekend for Nebraska. Gage, want to go back to Dylan for a moment and your connection with him. And are guys interested in Nebraska on their own, or does it help that Dylan's been a part of this? What's the peer recruiting level like between you guys with checking out different places?
I mean, of course, if Dylan went there, it would definitely change the minds and kind of encourage kids to go to Nebraska. But I think everyone liked it just on their own. Like, I definitely liked it on my own. Like, Dylan going there or not wouldn't affect me crazy like a ton. But obviously, if he went there, it's going to encourage some guys to go there because he's just such a good player. But, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I just think that everyone liked what they saw. And if he does go there, it'll definitely help, but it won't be like a game changer.
Did anyone have the thought that seems very common every single year, which is, man, I thought Memorial Stadium was just going to be surrounded by cornfields. Did you hear any of that this weekend on the visit?
Not really. I mean, I've been there before, but I did hear one kid say something like that. He's like, it's not how I expected it to be. It's more like a city environment in Lincoln, and it's definitely like an underrated town is what he said.
Along with that, did you guys have player hosts this weekend, and how much of that was, you know, talking to the former players and current players and coaching staff about just what Lincoln actually is?
I mean, I talked to some kids. We didn't really talk much about the town of Lincoln, I guess. We all kind of just toured it and stuff, and everyone liked it, but we didn't do a ton in the town, I guess.
It's about football?
Yeah, mostly.
Couple more minutes. Gage Ginther giving us a few minutes, Hail Varsity Radio. Gage, what style, your style specifically, with what Satterfield wants to do offensively, tell me about your fit on the offensive line and how your skills could adapt to Nebraska's offense, or just in general, what offense do you want to go play for?
I want to run the ball a lot. And then, of course, we got to pass and stuff, so I could get my pass ball right because I want to play the NFL. But I want to run the ball like as much as we can. But I also like pass pro, and I think I'm good at both, and I could do both. And then Coach Satterfield he likes me so much because I'm like really aggressive, and he says you can't teach like people to be mean. It just kind of Happens.
Who helped teach you to be mean? Let me ask you that.
I don't know. That's just kind of how I am, I guess. But it's like my dad and brother definitely taught me, and then my trainer, Matt McChesney, taught me a ton. Mm.
Do you think there's value in being an offensive lineman, a mean, nasty type, going to the Big Ten? Is that part of the selling factor with Nebraska, the fact that, you know, the Big Ten is known for putting out mean, nasty NFL offensive linemen?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the whole Big Ten, every school will say that to me. So, yeah, it's definitely a way they recruit. And I mean, it is true. I mean, the whole line play in the Big Ten is really good. So,
Gage, who's recruiting you the hardest right now, and what's your visit schedule look like here the rest of this spring?
I'm going to Tennessee this weekend, then USC and UCLA, Oregon, and Penn State. Those are the schools I have to go to, and then I have left to go to. And then I've been to Nebraska, and I've been to CU. And then the schools that are recruiting me the hardest, like, they're all recruiting me pretty hard. All the schools I just named are recruiting me pretty hard. But, I mean, the hardest, probably Nebraska, CU, Oregon, and Tennessee.
Tell me about that prime factor with Colorado. There's been a lot of talk in the national media about the momentum that he's building at Colorado, and I want to get your thoughts on what that recruiting experience has been like with Coach Prime in Colorado.
It's really cool. It's cool to see the difference between the two staffs and to see the changes that he's made alone just coming there and bringing his new staff in, which he brought a really good staff in there. So I think that's going to help him a lot. I think they're going to win some games. And they got a really good class out of the portal this year. So I think they're going to be good. And there's definitely a huge culture change from last season.
Gage, what does the rest of your spring look like? Are you doing any track, basketball? What other sports do you like doing aside from football?
I'm playing baseball right now.
Okay. So I assume they throw you at first or third, or, I mean, where are you at on the diamond?
First.
Okay.
Are you the slugger type, I'll assume, the first baseman that just hits dingers?
Yeah, I'm only on the team really to hit, so I don't do much fielding.
So you're telling me you're a DH?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, good enough. Gage, best to you and your family, and thanks for giving us a few minutes, and appreciate you jumping in here with Hail Varsity.
Of course.
Take care. Good to spend time with Gage Ginther. You can find him again on Twitter @Gage_Ginther, @Gage Ginther. On Instagram, we'll have that interview posted for the podcast. Spotify, iTunes, Google Play is where you can get the audio, and of course the video portion of it, the Hail Varsity YouTube channel. Good to get his insight on that and know that he's a DH.
I was wondering what his walk-up song was, but we missed on that. I'm just imagining the fear in a pitcher's heart whenever the walk-up song starts and you see a 6'6", 300-pound monster coming up ready to hit some dingers. You got a bigger strike zone to hit, but man, you can't miss with your pitches at all.
No, you got to bust him in. Bust him inside and don't let him extend the arms, right? But no, that's pretty insightful with Gage, just all five, first of all. I mean, and you've got a lot of cross training on the offensive line with Raiola and of course with Coach Rule. Same page, no shock there, but it is win now and win with you. And I like this take on Raiola. Yeah, there's interest if the number one player in the country is interested and has made as many trips and is so positive about Nebraska, but it's not, as he said, the deal breaker.
That, that's what we hit on last week.
Yeah, Nebraska is going to make a connection, an impression, and it's a fit thing. And it was good. I mean, he laid out. That's a list. Tennessee this weekend, USC, UCLA, Oregon, and then Penn State for Gage. And Oklahoma, I believe, offered him back on March 1st. Mm. So OU this month officially in on him. But good stuff. And Gage's family, originally from Nebraska, they're great folks. Quick timeout. We'll talk some Elite Eight on the way with Hail Varsity.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Gage Ginther, Fort Collins standout, part of the recruiting weekend for Nebraska. And we'll have that video portion posted, and we'll have some thoughts from Gage also out on the Hail Varsity Radio Twitter feed shortly after 6 at H Varsity Radios, where you can follow the show, can watch the show. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel on the Hail Varsity YouTube channel and also the Twitter handle as well. Todd emails in, what are kids that age looking for after practice and games? Every university has got something different to present. I'm editing your email, Todd, just a touch. Nebraska is only at a disadvantage because of the weather. It's not at a disadvantage because it's a farming community. That's not what we were saying. It's an asset, quite frankly, with the rural portion of the state.
We were just talking about preconceived notions, yes, with some of these guys. The fact that you hear Nebraska, and you know what, you're from California, you've never been to the Midwest, and you hear Nebraska, and you think you're going to see combines and cows.
Mm-hmm.
But no.
Yeah, there's no tying post for your horse.
Mm-hmm. And I think from what we've seen, anything with Nebraska that can be seen as a disadvantage, I think Matt Rhule and his staff want to try to turn it into an advantage. And we saw that early on with what they were saying about the weather in Nebraska is, yeah, you know what? Not every offense is going to work here at Nebraska, but we're going to find an offense that works in our weather, and you're going to have to come play us here in November whenever it's cold and it's windy and maybe there's some snowfall coming down and you're going to have to deal with that. I think that's what Matt Rhule is seeing. You know what? Some people see the disadvantages at Nebraska as just that, disadvantages, but they're trying to turn everything into an advantage when it comes to recruiting pitches and when it comes to just what type of football you want to play around here.
Well, and it's going to be cold if you get to play on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be cold in Cleveland in November. It's going to be cold in Chicago. It's going to be but cold in Green Bay, maybe as soon as October. Speaking of cold, what a cold, cold way to end the season if you're Creighton basketball. Tough loss to San Diego State. 39 minutes, 58 seconds, and right there, so close to the Final Four. And we've seen brutal losses. You've seen him as a Nebraska fan on the football field. You've seen him on the hardwood. And Creighton had a fun team this year, and you can hate Creighton and still begrudgingly admit that their offense and their style of ball is fun to watch. I will say that. You can disagree, fine, but San Diego State never let Creighton get fun yesterday. It was physical. It was just more of a rock fight than Creighton wanted. And the foul has been much discussed the last 24 hours. Was it the right call? Is it not the right call? Listen, here's the rule I kind of live by. A foul's a foul is a foul. Doesn't matter the time on the clock. You don't want to lose a game that way, but you don't swallow the whistle at the end of the game. The best way to put it, it was a cheap foul. It was a cheap foul to call. It was a cheap foul to do. And that's just the long and short of it. It was cheap because technically, did he have his hands on him? Yeah. Did you need a mouthpiece and a helmet to try and drive the lane through much of the game? Yes. And you weren't calling it then. But that seemed ticky-tacky for that moment. I thought Chuck Barkley nailed it with you don't want to lose a game that way. And in that moment, listen, if you've let it go all game, give me the same consistency in the first half and for 99.9% of the second half. That's my thought for the whistle. Didn't have to be called. I don't think it affected his shot, honestly.
You don't?
No. I mean, I thought that because the hand on the side was there. He didn't guide him or even nudge you. It didn't knock his flight off course, I don't think.
But you look at how he landed. He landed somewhat awkwardly, and maybe he was just trying to flop the contact. Very possible.
He had no intention of sticking the landing. He's trying to get a whistle because he knew he missed the shot. And the whistle wasn't while the shot was in play. It was about a half beat after the shot was off. And it was too strong.
Mm-hmm.
And then he fell to the floor. Well, he wasn't aided to the floor.
Well, don't fool yourself. If you would have made that shot, they wouldn't have called the foul.
Exactly.
It's as simple as that. And that's why I go, yeah, it was ticky-tacky, but by the rule book, it's a foul. You can be frustrated as a Creighton fan by the fact that, you know what, they weren't calling stuff like that most of the game. But I'm kind of with you is, by the rule book, it's a foul. I don't think you'd be mad at the ref calling it. The moment's not great. It's not great for Creighton, but it was a foul. And
was it a foul all game?
That's the problem. That's the problem. It wasn't necessarily called that way all game long, but if the ref is going to call it in that moment, I can't fault him for that because I saw a foul too. Whenever you have that hand on the hip and you see the player react the way he does, the way it turned his body and the way he landed, I think the player did well to force the referee's hand. And I can't remember the guy who took the shot's name. He did well to force the ref's hand, make him call that foul, which he did. It sucks it happened in that moment, but if you don't want that foul to be called in that moment, you just have to keep your hands off of him.
Well, you used your foul to give earlier in the possession, okay? And there was some contact on the old heave-ho as well. By Creighton to try and pull the Leitner miracle off. That didn't go the way it needed to go. And it was just a brutal night for Creighton and what they wanted to do from three-point land. I mean, they were 2 of 17 from downtown.
11%.
Yeah, 11.8, 22 of 55 from the floor. And San Diego State, I mean, they were down 8 at one point. They did a good job of chopping wood. Creighton's bench scoring was non-existent. Their bench really didn't contribute that much, just 16 minutes of total bench time. Creighton's had guys come in. I thought Shireman had a tough night, finished with 12 points, but 3 of 10. Kalkbrenner was at some points unstoppable, but he only had 5 points in the second half. I thought Kaluma was spectacular. I mean, I love his athleticism. And then Alexander got whistled. He was 0-for-5 from three. Nembhard and Alexander both 0-for-8.
And Nembhard was a guy that to me seemed like he was feeling the pressure last night. He was trying to do a little too much on the offensive end at times. It's a disappointing
Nembhard
way to end the season.
Foul, excuse me, but yeah.
But it's a disappointing way to end the season if you're Creighton. But you know what? That's a great run. The fact that you made the Elite Eight in the first place, it's a great run. The foul is unfortunate, but if there's anyone that should be mad about a foul call yesterday, it should be the Texans or the Texas fans for that box out call late against Miami. That was terrible.
Here's the thing.
That was the most cut and dry over the back
you
I've ever seen.
Don't blow a 13-point lead. You're up. And all Texas did was take stupid shots. Didn't get to the rim. Now, the defense hunkered down by Miami. Miami was just a smarter basketball team yesterday. Texas took stupid shots. They launched threes. They went cold. They had the dreaded scoring drought that you see in college basketball. And I like Larrañaga. I love Jim Larrañaga. I've liked him. He was just awesome. I mean, he opened up, I think, PBA. Or he was like the first major Power 5 school to come in here for non-conference. And they won in overtime 73-71 over Nebraska. So I like Larrañaga. I've always liked Larrañaga. I guess that's who I'm adopting. Never been a big UConn guy. And we'll see the other side of the bracket, how that shakes out. We'll wind down this first hour. Blackshirt Hour next on Hail Varsity with Coach McBride and Jay Moore.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
489-1240, numbers to get in. Can email Chris at HailVarsity.com. Gage Ginther this hour. Blackshirt Hour next hour. Charlie McBride 10 minutes away. And then Jay Moore. So, Chiefsaholic, the better known as Chiefsaholic, cashed his $110,000 bet on Chiefs and Mahomes futures. Wall, not running an errand, not going to get food, but Wall out on bail for an alleged bank robbery. He has removed his ankle monitor, and he has skipped bail. You got to be pretty crafty to skip bail, remove your ankle bracelet, first to get bail, and then just say, yep, I'm going to go cash that $110,000 that I'm owed. Wall, there are certain parameters are in place, like an ankle monitor. Do you ever have a buddy get one of those?
No, not that I know of.
Okay. I had a buddy that had one. We had to go visit him in his garage.
What's the story there?
He may have or may not have acted inappropriately towards a delivery guy.
We don't need the full story. We'll move on.
We're moving on. It's over 25 years ago. It's okay.
Statute of limitations.
No, it wasn't okay. But my point is he's a different dude now, thankfully. And he had to wear an ankle bracelet.
Well,
so we had to go visit him.
Yeah, with Chiefsaholic, if you'll remember, sports gambling, not illegal in Oklahoma. And he was not allowed to leave his place of residence in Tulsa. And if you got $100,000 on the line.
Is there a shot clock when you have to cash it and pick it up?
I don't know.
Like within 30 days?
Well, something tells me if you go to jail for 20 years, you probably won't be able to cash it when you get out.
Well, I would hope it's still good.
Well, it sounds like Saturday night he cut off the ankle monitor. Now he's quote-unquote on the run. And they're, you know, trying to figure out if he's going to go spend some time with family now, go cash the check and go give that cash to them before you inevitably go back to jail. You don't know what's going on here. Maybe he's 1,300 miles south of us in Mexico. I don't know.
Yeah, listen, don't be a fugitive, first and foremost. That's our message here on Hail Varsity Radio. Secondly, yeah, dude's got to be, if he's smart, in Mexico with 110 grand, because I would think 110 grand is a lot of pesos.
Well, I watched a video on YouTube. Don't ask me why. It just got suggested to me. I don't know why it got suggested to me, but it was from this former FBI agent who was explaining how you should go about going off the grid if you're on the run. And maybe he could have watched that video and taken some tips that basically you just destroy all electronics
that
you
have. Sean Penn calls you, say no. Don't answer. A reminder to get buckled up, use your seatbelt. It saves lives. It prevents injuries only if properly worn. Buckle up. This message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Reminder about the Hail Varsity Radio podcast, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play. Can download each segment or the whole show. We don't have a ton of segments, but a few you can take with you. You can watch it on the Hail Varsity YouTube channel. Watch it live on the Hail Varsity Twitter handle at HVarsity Radio. Be sure to catch Coffee and Cream. Damon Benning, Andrew Rogers, weekday morning 7 to 10. Catch them on the stream and, of course, under affiliate 590. So that's what you need to know about all your Husker football fixes and needs. Mr. Blackshirt is on the way. Charlie McBride, a Monday with Charlie. Next hour with Jay Moore. Blackshirt Hour on the way.
The voice of Husker Nation is on the air. This is Hail Varsity Radio. Insight, opinion, expertise, along with the biggest names talking Nebraska sports. Join in with the show at 402-489-1240 or 1-800-825-5865. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and Elijah Herbel.
Thanks for spending time. It's Hour 2 at Hail Varsity Radio. We're presented by Currency. For all your equipment financing needs, go Currency. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel. Big recruiting weekend. We welcome in Mr. Blackshirt himself. A Monday with Charlie. Charlie McBride joins us. Coach, how was the weekend? Did you watch plenty of basketball, or did you just sit in the sun?
No, I watched basketball. This time of year, you can't help it, because whoever's house you're in, it's on, you know. So, but that's pretty much what we did. And no, I was kind of sorry last night. I know you watched Creighton, and that was kind of a short, bad deal. But anyway, that's the way life goes, you know. And you know, the funny thing is Yogi Berra was right. Mm-hmm. The game ain't over till the fat lady sings, and. That's what everybody, I hate it when everybody starts jumping up and down with 10 seconds left and thinks they won, and then all of a sudden it turns around the other way, and it's sad.
Is that something you were pretty active with your kids about on the football field? With the game winding down, were you voicing your stay calm? Were you in your stay calm mode at the end of the Orange Bowls or Fiesta Bowls?
I don't know that I ever, I don't know if I ever made it that way, you know. I'll tell you what happens is usually, you know, like, well, they only got one touchdown, and we put the other guys in the game, you know, a lot of the threes and fours. And so but sometimes those kids get in the game, they didn't even practice our offense. And, you know, there's times when we've been ahead. And, you know, when you look at the defensive stats, you know, I always used to have people tell me, you know, like, for example, in that game, I think it was Florida game was 2017. They had 17, and then when the other guys came in, they got 24.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, is that right? You know, when it comes down to the statistics, their statistics aren't as good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that can happen. And well, we played Oklahoma State one year, and they put in a good running back, and he just blew us out of the water in the fourth quarter because we were ahead enough, and it didn't look real good, you know. And so that's the kind of thing that happens. And at one time, there were schools that were taking their pads off. And, you know, that when I saw that, I thought that's really crazy, you know, stuff.
Charlie McBride's with us on Hail Varsity Radio.
And Coach, before we get too deep into football, I do have to go back to Creighton. There's been two prevailing opinions in Nebraska. There doesn't seem to be much middle ground. Either it's you root for Nebraska, which means you can't root for Creighton, or there's the other people who say, well, if you're a Nebraska fan, it's okay to support Creighton in the tourney because they're the in-state school and we support other Nebraskans. And you being a guy who's around here for so long, what's your take on that? Is it okay to root for both Nebraska and Creighton?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I'm the kind of guy that, like, we moved into Michigan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up a Cardinal fan because they were in Chicago way back when I was a kid. They went from Chicago to St. Louis to Phoenix. And I was always a Cardinal fan. I wasn't a Bear fan, but I was a Chicago fan. And when the Bears played, you know, I wanted them to win. But then when I moved to Detroit, when I moved to Michigan, now I'm a Detroit Lions fan. And a baseball, I watch baseball games a little bit, you know, this year. And, you know, you just, that's just the way I've been. And same thing with Michigan and Michigan State. And back when I was in, you know, in Colorado and back when I was younger, you know, I spent time in Michigan and Michigan State. But I learned a little bit there is there's too many people around me that are for other schools, and it's a lot of bad mouthing going in because I'm right in the middle of Notre Dame, Michigan, and Michigan State, and Indiana, and so, you know, we get Nebraska gets out of it, but the other four schools they don't get out of it because there's people always, you know, ragging each other, and they kind of leave Nebraska alone. At least they do when I'm around.
Let me ask you this. Would you have called the foul against the Creighton player if you're wearing the stripes, if you're the official?
Okay, here's the thing about that. I think that the rule is a rule, okay? And look at what happened a couple years ago in pro ball. There was a blatant, pass interference, and they didn't call it. And the old story is, well, we don't call anything when they, you know, when it gets close to making a decision. We don't want to be the ones to change the game. But that doesn't make sense to me. If you got a rule, you got a rule. That's the end of the tune.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, to say that we can change the book or we can change something at this time of the game and let it just go, you know, that's the only thing that I've always been a guy that said, hey, you just go with what it's called. You have to, because you can argue with those guys and all you want. When they call it, they call it. Now in basketball, they go over and look at the, you know, they'll look at the game film, which is kind of good, a good deal, and they still came up with the same call.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what's really hard here both my wife and I are hard of hearing. Mm-hmm. And the TV was down because my son-in-law and his family, they were listening to the game on really low, and so I didn't get to hear all the comments that were made. Mm. And so, you know, they asked me the same question you are, but, you know, what do you think about changing it? And, you know, it's always good if it's the team you're for, you want it changed, right?
Yeah, depends who you're rooting for.
Because if they don't do it, the other team's going to be screaming.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, and so, you know, the books, that's, I always got mad at our head of officials when one time he told the officials, don't call a holding call unless they throw them on the ground. What? that's just the way official officiating is. He's not around anymore. But, you know, I think more times in pro ball you hear it from the pros that they shouldn't change the game, but I don't believe that. I think you ought to call it like you did in the first play of the game.
Yeah, no, give me consistency, that's for sure. Charlie McBride's with us Monday with Charlie on Hale Varsity Radio. Coach, it was a big recruiting weekend for Nebraska. They had a number of high-level prospects that came in for unofficial visits. Dylan Raiola, Dominic's son, was back, and there's a whole bunch of kids from the 500-mile radius, from the Kansas City and St. Louis regions all the way out to California. And what's your reaction to Coach Rhule getting so many kids that – well, the rest of the college football's recruiting really hard. They did a really nice job. I know you're touch and go with the star system, the star rankings, but there's a lot of high-star guys here.
Yeah, well, I think the one thing is there's a bunch of ways to look at it. But I'll tell you what, if you get a commitment out of these guys after they visit a couple of schools and so on and so forth, you got a real commitment. If you get a kid that goes home right now and commits and then has three or four or five visits, which we didn't allow, we didn't, as soon as they visited in our book back in the day, he wouldn't have a scholarship. Right away, he just took his scholarship away because we did it different. We had more, a commitment was a commitment, and it was through the coach, through the, you know, through the newspaper, through the parents, and the parents were locked down to, you know, allowing their son or, you know, whatever to talk to anybody. And that's just the way we approached it from the beginning. And that's the way the commitment was absorbed. And so nowadays it's different, you know. Nowadays it's kind of wide open, free spirit, free go here, commit, but it's okay if you go somewhere else. It makes it hard because you're telling players, if you have only take one tight end or one center or one, and you have three and one guy commits and you're only going to take one center and he all of a sudden decommits, Now those other guys are gone somewhere else. Now what do you do? So, you know, you've got to look at it a bunch of different ways. And I think what he did, and I think what was good, is that they came in early. They're going to be able to evaluate other schools. They're going to, if they're a money guy, we'll lose them, maybe. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, certain things. Some kids are some way and some are another. And I think most of the kids still, you know, they know they're going to maybe come up with something, but they want to go to that school. And that's the important thing. You know, that those guys, a lot of them are smart, and that's why they're in the position they're in now. And so they have a chance to compare Nebraska with every school they visit. And if they stick with their feelings, as they did when they were at Nebraska, say, for example, we're going to get them. Mm. And so, you're going to get an honest commit, a more honest commitment out of players at that stage when they're fours and fives. You know, if they go to maybe a couple of schools and have a chance to see some other places.
Coach, one of the things we talked about back in the first hour was that this weekend was really good for getting your foot in the door with some kids. They got to come see Nebraska, and now the question is going to become, at what point do they come back and come see Nebraska again? And I want to get your take. Did you have any patented closing out moves, some finishing moves for recruits? You know, once you got the foot in the door, they're coming back to Nebraska, you know they're interested. Was there anything that you would take them to go see on campus or pitches you would give them to make sure that they committed?
Well, it's just a hand. You know, it, really, what it is a handshake,
mm-hmm.
and you learn a lot about the kids when they, you know, they kind of tell you you're coming, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm going, I'm going. You wonder a little bit about their character sometimes, but you know, when you leave it go the way it is now, you open the door the whole time. Now there's a kid over here at Pinnacle High School who hasn't signed with anybody, who's probably one of the number one guys in the whole country, a tight end.
Oh, the tight end.
And
okay.
He's a great baseball player. I mean, a great one. And what he's doing is waiting until the draft, the baseball draft, to see where he gets drafted. And he's probably going to get drafted high. But if he doesn't get drafted a certain place, he'll go probably to SC. Mm-hmm. Well, guess who's at Pinnacle with him?
Yeah, Dylan.
What?
Dylan Raiola.
I mean, yeah, Raiola has moved to Pinnacle High School. So because of baseball, he's playing baseball now. But mm-hmm. I would say that in the summertime, if that kid's going to play his senior year of football, they'll be spending a lot of time together throwing the ball.
Mm. That's a and, Deuce
and
Robinson
the other kid, the way it sounds now, at least out here, is that he's already going to go to SC. So, you know, you never know how that thing turns out at all. But, you know, and so never say never. That's all I can say. You know, people say, well, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And that's just the death sometimes.
Charlie McBride's with us Monday with Charlie. It's Hail Varsity Radio. You said Deuce Robinson?
Yes.
That's the tight end.
Yeah, five-star tight end, number one tight end in the country.
The USC's all over, and he's going to be catching passes from Dylan Raiola. Good insight there from Coach down in the desert. Coach, get some chicken wings this week, all right?
Oh, I have some. Oh. Friday, I'm speaking to the Huskers in Arizona.
Are you? Well,
and they told me they're going to have hamburgers and chicken wings. It's going to be a luncheon deal, and they're going to have a lot of people there. So I'm going to go over there and use some gibberish.
No, that'll be all right. Make sure that you save some for the good folks that cheer for Nebraska. Coach will just take all the chicken wings.
Just send them to me, and I'll ask.
That's pretty good. Well, we'll run you down next week. Have a good time in front of the Big Red Faithful down in the desert there, Coach. And we'll talk to you next Monday, all right?
Okay. Thanks for having me. I'll talk to you next week.
See
have
you,
fun
Coach.
This week.
You too.
Okay. Bye now.
There he is. Good stuff from Charlie McBride. Officiating, recruiting, why not?
Deuce Robinson, the guy he mentioned? 6'6", 240-pound, almost center fielder. A lot of MLB teams see him as maybe the next Aaron Judge of sorts.
Sure.
So that's why he's been delaying his commitment.
Nope, that makes a lot of sense. Blackshirt Hour continues. Jay Moore's next.
All-State, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, an NFL vet.
Is Dudeness or Duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
Back into it at Hail Varsity Radio. We say hi to Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer. Find him on Twitter at JayMoore44. Catch him on Big Red Wrap-Up co-host. And, Jay, pretty eventful weekend for Nebraska on the recruiting front, but not so much for you on the old flag football practice field front because of snow. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, yeah. We're into spring flag football now. And, yeah, the snow got practice canceled, which wasn't the worst thing because we're able to, you know, catch the Miami-Texas game. You know, I missed a little bit of that. I've been kind of watching my phone, but, you know, I'll take that as a win to be able to. It wasn't nice at all on Sunday anyways. They don't need six-year-olds out there running around on a snowy field. And although it could have been kind of fun for them. But
no, I think
the majority of the dads were happy it got canceled so we could watch basketball.
Throw them out there in short sleeve shirts and shorts, toughen the kids up
a
little bit.
Tell them to rub some dirt on it or some mud.
I don't even want to be out there in it.
Jay, did you ever figure out a way to get out of practice, or did you never skip practice?
You know, I don't think I ever skipped. No, I'm trying to think. I mean, I always felt that was kind of bad karma.
Yeah.
You know, because next thing you know, you skipped and you have an injury where you're like, dang, this isn't great. This isn't what I want. Hmm. Remember just, you know, during my time in Nebraska, I think the only time I ever missed practice was just times being banged up or being sick every now and then. But I think I can count on one hand the amount of times I missed practice in five seasons. Hmm. There's plenty of times I wanted to skip practice my redshirt year, my freshman year, and then my redshirt freshman year, because both those years I was on the scout team. I mean, I was just getting my head kicked in for 2 years straight. There's a couple times it sounded pretty nice to come up with something, but, you know, I just couldn't bring myself to do it.
And Jay, was that about you, or was that about letting your teammates down, knowing the fact that you're going to be on scout team and you're getting them ready for the opposition? Like, how much of that was your own personal will to go to practice? How much of that was not wanting to let the team down?
Yeah, it was all me. I mean, just kind of who I was and how I was brought up. I mean, you don't skip anything unless, you know, there's just now. Skipping class was another subject. I found many creative ways to get around that every now and then. But skipping practice, that was just you just never did it. You know, unless there's an absolute reason you're hurt or you're sick. I mean, I remember times even being having a cold and, you know, my old man just telling me it's just a cold, you're going to practice. You know, so suck it up. You know, you better be puking or, you know,
otherwise,
if you're gonna miss any side of the practice, or you gotta be really hurt. So it is what it is, and I just never once thought that it sounded to be a good idea. Like I said, karma was a huge issue for me. So I'd had plenty of injuries later in my career and other times in my career. So I didn't, you know, I just feel like going through that once and other times, you better. Jump on it and stay on it and don't find any excuses, because it can get taken away from you rather quickly.
Jay Moore is with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Jay, you have been a part of Nebraska for a large part of your life, and when you played, there was a big infusion with a lot of recruits that came in with high star rankings, kind of the era of, and really your senior year, maybe it was kind of the birth of the five-star, four-star, the early 2000s, and then you kind of fast forward to maybe your sophomore or junior year with the Sioux and the Marlin Luckies, and I kind of equate now to then with the high level of projected talent that Rule had in last weekend with Riola and company. I mean, we're talking 12 four-stars, four or five, five stars. I mean, you had, and it's 500 mile radius and beyond, but it's a lot of local or at least 500 mile radius guys. Speak if you could. I mean, did you notice or see a difference with, oh, here's Marlin Luckey, he looks different. Here's Ndamukong Suh, he looks different. You yourself were a four star guy. You were different from a starting point and Rule from a development standpoint. I mean, he's working the guys hard. I like what he did with bringing in the projected high-level talent. They got to see how Nebraska works this weekend, how they're going to go about practice.
Yeah, looking back on it, and this is recruiting so vastly different from, you know, 16, 17 years ago, you know, and when I was there, because you only took official visits during the season. Mm-hmm. Right. So you just didn't, during the season, I never hosted a ton of players. I think I maybe had hosted one guy maybe. I just wasn't what I wanted. Usually they put the host or sometimes with a younger player, you know, they don't want the older guys, you know, trying to host just because you got other stuff kind of to deal with and worrying about a game and family in town and all that stuff. So, but now that guys can kind of take these official visits whenever, you know, throughout the year and throughout the summer, I think that's going to help. That's going to benefit Nebraska even more because you're going to get them with, you know, with more of your high profile guys to show them around town and guys that can speak to previous staffs and now and why this staff is better. And so, but even looking back in my time then when we did have guys come through, I remember getting ready for, I don't remember what game Marlon Lucky came for. It would have been, you know, probably our sophomore year. But I remember him, Coach Blake, bringing him through the training room as we're getting taped and getting ready to go out before the game. And you knew who he was, and you're like, okay, you wanted to get him, and I'm glad we did. But I just was so there was so many other things that I had to worry about than making mm-hmm. sure. We got the best players on campus. My biggest thing is like, all right, if you want to show a recruit how special this place is, go out and win the football game that they're at. Mm-hmm. You know, because there's nothing better than when at Memorial Stadium on a Saturday afternoon when you know defense is rock and roll, offense is scoring points, the crowd's going crazy. So that was my main ordeal. And then if I could, you know, provide anything and, you know, after the game or do something like that, I could, but I would try to anyways, mm-hmm. but you know, it's just things have changed a lot, you know? I'm happy that there just seems to be a new refined energy towards recruiting. And it just seems they are going after anyone and everyone, and I love that. I love that approach. Listen, Nebraska is still relatable. That's what I'm trying to get to. And if you put the effort out there and get these kids in here, develop the relationships, this place is still pretty special. And I think you know, the kids that were in here this weekend definitely saw that. And I think Rule and their staff can still speak to that and recruit to that, which is you know, only going to get better.
Jay Moore's with us. Jay, what type of vibe did you feel or do you feel was going on with Nebraska recruiting in some of the previous staffs? I'm not asking you to hammer anybody or set you up that way. I'm just saying, I think you're right. The energy and the can-do attitude, the doggedness to me is what sticks out where there's no sleep till Brooklyn almost. I mean, that's how Rule and his staff are kind of going about it. They are going 1,000 miles per hour all the time.
Yeah, they are. And I love that. I will never say any of the previous staffs didn't work hard because it takes a lot of work to be, mm-hmm. to coach at the Division I, especially Power 5, Big 10 level. It takes a lot of work. I just don't think that their efforts, their energy was put in the right places. And I think they found too many excuses sometimes to why they may not go after a guy.
Sure.
I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, you look at the what happened the previous staff with Dylan Raiola, whatever the rumors were, whatnot, but just once he kind of committed to Ohio State, it was almost like we stopped recruiting him. Once, you know, in the whole Zane Flores situation up at Gretna, you know, the lack of communication on that end. And I think that could have been saved if there was any effort put forth. But for some reason, Scott didn't want the kid. I mean, I don't care if you don't think he kind of fits within what you want. He's the best player in the state of Nebraska. You better try to make it work somehow for this kid to stay in state and come play for your program. So like I said, the energy, I don't think it was bad by any means. I just don't think they were very efficient with it. And they didn't, and again, they didn't have a very clear picture of how they wanted to go about it. So I think this staff, like you said, they're going to exhaust all resources, options, connections, whatever it's going to take. I mean, you've already seen it with the staff they've hired, with the amount of people they brought up from the state of Texas just alone to open that state back up. So I don't ever, you know, like I said, I don't ever want to say the effort wasn't there. I just don't think it was the right effort. And I think they almost gave up a little too easily on kids, where you could just kept, you know, just stick with it a little longer and just keep there. You know, I think they could have just done a little better job of just sticking with it a little longer on some of the guys. And this staff going forward, I think the relationships are going to get built and they're going to stick with them and continue to build those relationships and go through that process with kids to where it's going to make a very hard decision for them to choose not to come here and to choose to go to somewhere else. And they better have a damn good reason why, whether it's for their bank accounts or, you know, the proximity to home, playing time, or being a part of a winning program, you know? So I think those all will come into it, but it's not going to be with this staff. It's not going to be because of a lack of effort and a lack of communication and a lack of attention by any means.
Jay Moore's with us, Hale Varsity Radio, black shirt Husker NFLer. Jay Moore, co-host of Big Red Wrap-Up, will spend a few more minutes with Jay on the recruiting weekend, get his take on some practice things he's hearing about with Coach Rule and company. Another segment, we're doing a newer thing this spring, and it's the Black Shirt Hour. And that's it's Jay Moore and Charlie McBride back-to-back. Kind of dig the Black Shirt Hour.
I like it.
So more with Jay Moore as we grabbed him. The video portion of this interview going to be posted here a little bit after 6. Spotify, iTunes, Google Play for the audio interviews and podcast with Hale Varsity Radio and the Hale Varsity YouTube channel. Jay Moore continues after this.
And now, back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Jay Moore is with us here at Hale Varsity Radio. And Jay, the quote from Dylan Raiola this weekend was that Matt Rule's recruiting pitch to him was, "We're going to win now and we want to win with you." What is your reaction to that pitch?
That's great. It's awesome. You look at when he would come in, and if he would commit, you know, you'd have a damn good chance at being a day one starter. And I think that's obviously been communicated to him and in that whole process. It's such an interesting situation for Dylan, just because I honestly think it's just between us and SC. You guys might know something else that I don't, but you know, the family dynamic that he has here is, and I've, you know, gone into detail before with you guys, it's such a unique, cool situation that you don't get that anywhere else. That dynamic he has here, does it, you know, the pros and cons, you know, is it equal weight to having Lincoln Riley's offensive, you know, power and becoming a Heisman Trophy? Maybe. NIL money equal or better? Maybe. But the fact that your dad played here and your uncle coaches here and, you know, you're able to play where your dad is and or play your dad played and has his name all over the stadium, that's a unique opportunity. And I think Matt is going to say all the right things. He's already said all the right things. You know, Coach Rule's already said all the right things going forward. And of course he wants to win now, and of course he wants to do it with Dylan Raiola. So I don't know when his decision is going to come. I know I believe he wants to have it done before he starts his senior year of football. But it tell you what, that'd be an absolute game changer if he decides to, you know, to come here, because not only are you getting the best player in the country, but, you know, the best wide receivers and the best running backs and the best tight ends and the other great players in the country as well want to go play with other other great guys are as well. So it could really start a pretty remarkable path of other great talent to come in here and join Dylan.
Jay, that's it. The domino effect that want to go with this quarterback is remarkable. You mentioned the skill guys, but Nebraska's in on some dudes on the defensive line, on the interior, off the edge. Hey Dylan, what's up? What are you thinking? Let's go check out Nebraska. Cool. So that happened this weekend.
You have the number one offensive tackle in the country, the number one defensive lineman in the country, plus the number one player in the country. That's a haul of a weekend.
Yeah, and who knows if Nebraska doesn't get that on their own, but you'll take the Raiola effect, for lack of a better term, to make it a little easier, at least get that. Yeah, we'll come up on our own dime for an unofficial. I mean, that's really cool, too. I mean, Nebraska's had good linemen here. They've recruited high-level linemen here, and there's interest just because of his personality and the way he does things with Coach Donnie to have a really tough and physical offensive line. But if his nephew's the one that's being protected, I mean, that's all the more insurance you want to provide, right? You don't want any phone calls from Dom.
Yeah, exactly. You get the pops on the phone and, you know, what the hell are you doing up there? My son's getting murdered. get it figured out, guys. You know, that's the last. You don't want to get that call or the text message. You know, that would be that's no bueno. You know, we've had, you know, I don't think, like I said, I'll stand on my soapbox and say the talent's good enough to win here, and it has been. Coaching matters, and doing things the right way matter. And I think, you know, we're going to go after the right guys. We're going to go after the recruits that fit us, and we're going to go after big names too. Mm-hmm. And we're going to take a shot at them and explain, you know, in detail what our plan is and how they fit into our plan here at Nebraska. But it's going to help, you know, we're going to get there, you know, quicker when these offensive lines stay healthier. Mm-hmm. I think there's good enough talent there to have a really good offensive line. But you got to stay healthy. I mean, Proska's got to stay healthy. Mm-hmm. I know Noelle was ineligible last year. You know, and guys just got to stay healthy. That's a huge aspect of being a successful football team. But you got to protect. You got to establish line of scrimmage. You got to run the football. You got to be able to run the football in the fourth quarter. Coach Wool's already alluded to that. He said he wants 75 yards rushing in the fourth quarter going forward. Love that comment. He fully understands that. I trust me, Donovan Raiola knows how to coach offensive line and develop guys. And he was at Wisconsin. He knows what great offensive lines look like and how to practice the right way to get what it needs to be to be that team that owns the fourth quarter and is going to get 75 to 100 yards rushing in the fourth quarter. And when, you know, when there was 4 minutes on the clock and you're up by four, this thing's over, right? I mean, in years past, we've been in those situations where like, oh God, how are we going to lose this game? You know, there's no chance they were going to be able to get a first down. I mean, it happened so many times. So I just, it's just an evolution of everything. And, I like what's been going on so far, but like I said, I mean, this is still a lot of hypothetical talk and hypothetical situations, and they got to get through spring ball, they get through fall camp, and then boom, you know, or late August, they got to go to Minneapolis to play the Gophers. Mm-hmm. And then that's when the honeymoon period's over and that's all the talk's done. And you got to try to put some results to all the talk that's been, you know, everything that everyone's been, you know, saying so far.
Jay Moore's with us here, and Jay, I think we have time for one last thought. I want to get your take on some of the things we've seen coming out of spring practice, where last week we had news of E.J. Barthel coaching those running backs hard. We had that Heinrich Harburg scoring touchdown that was posted over the weekend. I just want to get your reaction to what you're seeing from spring practice so far and your initial reaction to some of this coaching that we're seeing.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to get down there yet. I'm going to do my best to get down and watch a practice. They kind of just make it tough when they practice in the mornings and you know, and you got to work, but hopefully maybe one of these weekend practices I'll be able to sneak down there. But what I've seen so far is attention to detail. It seems to be a lot more individual work. You know, I maybe went to two or three practices of the Froster. I don't remember. There was some individual work. There wasn't a ton, but it seems to me early on in spring ball, there's been a lot more technical work, individual work, you know, spending 30 to 40 minutes potentially on individual work. And that may be because usually individual works towards the beginning of practice, but sometimes you can use it in after practice as well. So I think they're utilizing both that time wisely before and after practice. So, you know, other than that, I haven't seen anything from the team situation, but this seems, and just from the talk within the players and after practice, they said they're spending more time on the individual side of things, working on techniques. You know, as a defensive lineman, working on the correct pad level, working on the correct hand placement, you know, footwork, how to get off blocks, how to attack certain blocks, so on and so forth. Because there's, from a defensive alignment, offensive alignment situation, especially the defensive alignment, you need a ton of time to practice looks. And I know Charlie McBride has said it tons of time on this show. You need time to take on different blocking schemes, how to line up to it, how to take on this double team, how to get off this, you know, how are you going to play the counter, or, you know, how are you going to play a power, how are you going to, you know, all sorts of different things. So you need to designate and commit to a lot of time, you know, in individual practice. So early on, that's what I see so far, and that's great, because that's how you develop and create really good habits that, you know, take over when you finally get into, you know, live action and then game action.
Jay Moore's with his Big Red Wrap-Up co-host. Find him on Twitter at JayMoore44, Blackshirt Husker NFLer. Jay Bird, we'll run you down again. Good to talk some ball with you, man. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Yep. Always. Anytime.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time, Hail Varsity Radio. We're presented by Currency for all your equipment financing needs. Go Currency. Big thanks to Gage Ginther, a recruit for Nebraska's 2024 class, big-time prospect out of Fort Collins on the offensive line. Gave us his take on his visit weekend, and he didn't quite give us play-by-play, but Rule stays unbeaten at the ping-pong table, and it didn't sound like it went well for Dylan.
Yeah, that was a good little tidbit there where he said, I stayed the hell away from Matt Rule on the ping-pong table.
What'd he say? Dylan got smoked?
Yes, I believe that was a direct quote. So that's funny stuff. I heard you got smoked this weekend by that new 20-pound little weight sack that you got.
Dude, what's it called when you put the weight vest on?
A ruck.
Yeah, okay. So I got my ruck vest, and this is no joke. I go work out at Madonna Proactive. And I walk in there, and there's this sweet little old woman who watches me walk in with it on, and she started, like, freaking out because she thought it was the old vest you saw on Tommy Boy. There was no dynamite sticking out of it. So I'm like, no, this is a, I'm not kidding. It's funny, but it isn't.
There's no red cable for you to cut.
No, there's not. Don't call the bomb squad, dear. So go in there, and I have it on, and she's like, oh, it looks like a vest. I'm like, no, we're good. We're good. It's. I don't want you to lift it because you'll fall, but it was 20 pounds, did an hour. I worked out Saturday with weights, and then Sunday I just walked my fat ass around the track for an hour before I went to the bar.
It's a better workout than you'd expect.
Right? No, it was good. It was great. The problem is I follow workouts with going to the bar. It's not a problem, but it's you're trying to curb behavior of how, what, not necessarily what you drink, because I can go low-cal with the alcohol intake, but the food is the problem. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I've been eating a lot of chicken breast recently.
See, I need to move more towards you. I need to do more chicken breast than I've been doing.
The key is you got to have 24 hours of, like, foresight with your chicken breast and marinate them overnight. That's the key. Is like the night before you want to actually cook them, marinate them up overnight, find your favorite flavors. I can send you some recipes. They're
I just
fantastic.
Need it to get warm. Listen, I'm out on the air fryer and my chicken breast. It just doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I can put I need it to be warm enough to turn my grill on.
Okay.
Then I'm a happy guy with chicken breast.
It's fair enough. Speaking of weight vest, though, this reminded me of a story, which I'm not sure if I told you.
20 pounds. It was good. Texted you. This was awesome. Watched a little YouTube, listened to a little music, and it was fine. I'll probably try and do that twice a week and then lift twice a week.
Well, that look of...
Look at me.
That look of fear on the woman at the front desk. I've been there, though.
It was from the front desk. This was just some little older gal that was done with her work.
Well, I've been there. I don't think I've ever told you the story. I was up in Madison visiting with Bryson Williams. This is for the Nebraska-Wisconsin game. We go out after the football game, and we stop into, I don't know, some acquaintance of his home. They're having a little house party, and I walk in, and the first person I see is just wearing a bulletproof vest. up
like
top.
Kevlar?
I think it was a fashion choice, but like I immediately walked in and I had that sense of shock of like, I don't think this is the right place for me. I'm dressed like a frat boy.
Gee, Elijah, how is your unofficial to Wisconsin?
Thank God that was not an unofficial visit.
Bulletproof vest.
You know, I walked in and I'm like, I don't think I'm at the right place for me. All eyes immediately turned to me like, what is this dude doing here? And I'm like,
Elijah, would you like a whippet?
I'll see myself to the door.
All right, download the show. Check it out. Spotify, iTunes, Google Play with Hail Varsity Radio. Talk to you at 4. Thanks.
A Huda Media Production.